In this next segment of our examination of the Searchlight pamphlet Reunited Germany, The New Danger, we're going to continue with our examination of the degree of continuity between the, quote, old, unquote, German military of the Third Reich and the, quote, new, unquote, German military, a German military which in June of 1995 has begun its first combat mission outside of Germany since World War II, that a combat support mission by the Luftwaffe in Bosnia. Again, in our previous examination of this pamphlet, Reunited Germany, The New Danger, we took a look at the failure of denazification, or we touched on the subject of the failure of denazification due in considerable measure to the fact that many of the elements in the United States and the other so-called Western democracies that were charged with denazification actually were pro-Nazi and pro-fascist, and that considerable pro-Nazi and pro-fascist sympathy within powerful American and Western institutions led to the, or produced the failure of denazification, the doctrinaire anti-communist and anti-labor stance of Nazism, endearing it to many powerful Western interests. The failure of denazification applied to the Bundeswehr as well. In our examination of Reunited Germany, The New Danger, again, the Searchlight magazine pamphlet put out in cooperation with Antifa Infoblot, a German anti-fascist news service, we were examining contacts between the Bundeswehr, the German army, and two organizations that either descended from or were heavily intersected with the SS. One was the HIAG, the Veterans Organization of the Waffen-SS. The other is the ODR. That's an organization of recipients of the Knight's Cross. That was a decoration personally established by Adolf Hitler. The German military has had very close contacts with both. By the way, at the end of this segment, I will give an address, etc., for the Searchlight magazine. You can contact them in order to order Reunited Germany, The New Danger. Continuing with our analysis of the continuity between the old and the new German military, the Searchlight and Antifa Infoblot write as follows in Reunited Germany. Of contacts between far-right and fascist organizations and individuals and the Bundeswehr, either as a complete institution or segments of the Bundeswehr, the writers of this pamphlet write as follows. The following are just a few examples of well-documented and, in some cases, much-publicized contacts between the Bundeswehr and the extreme right in Germany in the 1970s and 1980s. In April of 1972, HIAG in Beirut welcomed Captain Heinrich as official Bundeswehr representative to its 20th anniversary celebrations. In February of 1974, Lieutenant Colonel Prentl, P-R-E-N-T-L, commander of the Upper Bavarian Defense District, was chief guest of honor at a birthday party for former SS Obergruppenführer and honorary president of HIAG, Wilhelm Bietrich, B-I-T-T-R-I-C-H. By the way, of course, Beirut was in Bavaria, not referring to Beirut in the Middle East. Continuing. In 1976, the highly decorated Luftwaffe dive bomber pilot and inveterate Nazi, the late Hans-Ulrich Rudel, was warmly welcomed at the base of the Bundeswehr's Reconnaissance Squadron 51. Repeated receptions given by Bundeswehr officers in uniform in Aumühle near Hamburg for the now-dead Hitler successor and Nazi admiral of the fleet, Karl Dönitz, who was sentenced as a major war criminal to 10 years imprisonment by the War Crimes Tribunal in Nuremberg. When Dönitz was buried in January of 1981, Bundeswehr Rear Admirals Wolfgang Benzino, B-E-N-Z-I-N-O, and Hans Fendt, F-E-N-D-T, and former Bundeswehr Chief Harald Wüst, W-U-S-T, were present side-by-side with convicted Nazi terrorists Manfred Raeder and Friedhelm Busse, B-U-S-S-E. Major General Hans-Joachim Lusser and Rear Admiral Günter Poser were present at the founding meeting of the ultra-rightist Western Goals Europe in Bad Godesberg in May of 1981. Of course, the Western Goals organization also has a very powerful American contingent that was involved in, among other things, with elements of the Los Angeles Police Department in a political spying scandal in the early 1980s. Continuing. At the beginning of November of 1981, the commander of the Bundeswehr's territorial command in Schleswig-Holstein sent a message of greetings to the Nazi ODR, meeting at the U-boat memorial in Laboe, L-A-B-O-E, near Kiel. The message emphasized the Bundeswehr's, quote, devotion to the military virtues of previous generations, unquote. In mid-November of 1982, the Bundeswehr laid commemorative wreaths together with Hayag in Neumünster. In June of 1983, Hayag members took part in a shooting competition organized by the Bundeswehr Reserve in Freiburg. Brigadier General Peter Harhaus, H-A-A-R-H-A-U-S, delivered a lecture on, quote, "The Development of the Air Force, 1986 to 2000, to the Nazi ODR in mid-April of 1984. In April of 1986, the Stuttgart district leader of the Nazi National Demokratische Partei Deutschlands, or NPD, a serving soldier, was awarded a Bundeswehr Medal of Honor in Grossingen for, quote, "above average soldierly achievement," unquote. At the beginning of 1987, a right-wing extremist magazine titled Der Bund was circulated inside the defense ministry in Bonn, calling for intensified conventional rearmament by the Bundeswehr. The magazine used internal defense ministry information. Other connections have included links between the Nazi Junge National Demokraten and the German Navy's number one minesweeping flotilla in Flensburg, Munich, links between HIAG Marburg and the local Bundeswehr HQ, a celebration in honor of Adolf Hitler aboard the naval training ship Deutschland, the blessing of a memorial to the dead of the former SS Mountain Division North in Buchholz-Hunsbruck with representatives of the Infantry Command 3 from Koblenz and Infantry Music Corps 5, a meeting between Hayag Coburg and officers of the Bundeswehr and units of the Federal Frontier Force in connection with Hayag's annual rally in Bavaria at which the SS Trierlied was sung, participation by an official delegation from the Bundeswehr at a memorial service, together with the now-banned Nazi Vikingjugend at the Airmen's Memorial on Burg Stauffenberg near Gießen. The organizers of this ceremony were the Old Comrades Association of the former Stuka Squadron Immelmann, and the principal speaker was Hans Ulrich Rudel. Again, interrupting Rudel, a very prominent post-World War II Nazi leader, a much-decorated flyer for the Hitler Luftwaffe, and Rudel, one of the organizers of the Kameradenwerk, post-World War II Nazi underground. Continuing. And into the 1990s, memorial events organized by the, quote, "Working Group on Soldierly Associations," unquote, which both Nazis and the Bundeswehr attend, continued to be staged. Such an event was held on Totensonntag, Remembrance Sunday, in November of 1992 in Aachen, at which Frank Heimig, H-E-I-M-I-G, a representative of the right-wing student fraternity Libertas, said that he welcomed service under arms and described pacifism as, quote, "a dishonorable, cowardly sneaking away from responsibility," unquote. The list could go on, since it represents only the tip of a big iceberg, which, because of the way the Bundeswehr is fenced off from the outside world, is rarely brought into focus, and then, often, only long after the particular event. These meetings are nevertheless illustrative of the tradition consciousness of the Bundeswehr and its contacts with, quote, "veterans associations," unquote, and Nazi, quote, "old comrades," unquote, networks. The continuity between the old and the new German military also extends to the naming of German military facilities after honored figures in the German military past, including and especially figures who had served in the German military under Adolf Hitler. The next segment of the Reunited Germany reads as follows. A survey of military bases discloses that 37 are named after Nazi Wehrmacht figures and a further 40 after militarists of the Kaiser's Empire. Amongst others, the following names and locations are to be found: Hindenburg, Goltz, Rötiger, Kubler, Lettau-Vorbeck, von Fritsch, Hüttner, Tirpitz, Kaiser Wilhelm, Dietl, the so-called Butcher of Narvik, Rommel, Lüttich, Pommern, Deutschorden, Langemerk, Ostmark, and Argonen. In its training exercises, too, the Bundeswehr is not fussy about the names it uses. Thus, at a Bundeswehr base in Oberlausitz, Saxony, there is a, quote, "Sarajevo command post," unquote, and there are, at firing ranges of the Bundeswehr, the names of towns which are now in Poland and Russia. Interrupting, as we shall see later on, this is disturbing, perhaps it's only symbolic or playful. However, whatever the Bundeswehr's intent and the degree of continuity between the past and the present with regard to the Bundeswehr suggests that those names might be more than just capricious or playful. The German designs on the former Yugoslavia and parts of Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union are quite clear. And in this examination of the Bundeswehr, it might appear that the significance of some of the things that I'm talking about might appear obscured to a certain extent as the situation of the Bundeswehr is placed within the context of contemporary German policy and German preparations for the future. I think the significance of this and other details will be enhanced, because indeed the degree of continuity between the past and the present in Germany extends throughout all of Germany's major institutions, and indeed there would appear to be much danger on the political horizon. Continuing with Reunited Germany, the New Danger. The inside of many Bundeswehr barracks also gives rise to certain conclusions about tradition, consciousness, and preservation. In the past, walls of workrooms and hallways were frequently dubbed with slogans and pictures from the time of Hitler fascism or bedecked with imperial war flags. In soldiers' bookshops, such enlightening volumes as Alfen's The Struggle for Silesia, Karel's Operation Barbarossa, Grimm's Nation Without Space, Vegasok's The Baltic Tragedy, Hupka's Silesia, etc. are offered for sale to the troops. This, too, appears to be only the tip of an iceberg. A glance at written material of the Bundeswehr, such as, for example, information from the for the troops, periodical for inner leadership, establishes that hostility towards foreigners is propagated, and there is a clear lack of disassociation from extremism. This last paragraph again. A glance at written material of the Bundeswehr, such as, for example, information for the troops, periodical for inner leadership, establishes that hostility towards foreigners is propagated, and there is a clear lack of disassociation from extremism. Thus, can Clemens Range, R-A-N-G-E, who also writes for the extreme right MUT, rant about the, quote, threat of migration of peoples, unquote, quoting the book Invasion of the Poor by the chairman of the Fascist Republikaner in Berlin. Alfred Schickel, who was a staff member of the Nazi newspaper Europavorn, is also to be found among the list of writers for this Bundeswehr organ. The reading habits of the deacon of the Bundeswehr University of Neubiberg, George Geismann, are also well known from his public readings from Hitler's Mein Kampf. Even the music of the Bundeswehr gives away its right-wing tradition. The singing of former SS marching songs is no rare event and is not hindered by officers either, while an advertisement for an LP, Songs from All Fronts, with Nazi Wehrmacht songs, appeared in the official army newspaper Heer, H-A-H-E-E-R, or Heer, in May of 1976. Army Band No. 5 from Koblenz even produced a record for in the summer of 1976 for the ultra-right SS-linked Osnabrück Publishers Munin, German saluting and marching and parading marches, including SS marches. In response to criticisms, it was stated that the playing of SS marches in the Bundeswehr was unthinkable, despite the fact tradition-preserving veterans organizations are allowed, and that Army Band No. 5 is regularly sent to their events. The next segment of Reunited Germany, The New Danger, is a close-up that we're going to read, I should say, is a close-up of one of the individuals for whom a German military base was named. This by way of perhaps examining in microcosm what we have been examining at a greater distance. This segment of Reunited Germany, The New Danger, is entitled, Who was Eduard Dietl, D-I-E-T-L? Eduard Dietl, after whom the Bundeswehr garrison in Füssen, Bavaria, is named, was Adolf Hitler's favorite general and was a Nazi even before Hitler. Dietl, a career officer, was a member of the Nazi Party's forerunner, the Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, and his name comes before Hitler's in the membership list. In 1920 and 1923, he actively took part in attempts at the violent overthrow of the Weimar Republic. When the Nazi Party was founded, he joined immediately and organized army protection for its early meetings. In 1941, Hitler praised Dietl for his, quote, help in bringing the Third Reich into existence, unquote, and in 1942, when in command of a division of mountain infantry troops, Dietl was put in charge of a, quote, mobile concentration camp, unquote, in which 340 Wehrmacht soldiers of a so-called punishment battalion were sent on a forced march 531 kilometers from Finland to northern Norway. Only 28 survived the ordeal. The majority died from cold, but many were murdered by Dietl's troops, quote, whose brutality, unquote, according to a 1955 war crimes court report, quote, knew no bounds, end quote. For his bloody conquest of the Norwegian city of Narvik and the atrocities carried out there, he was nicknamed the Butcher of Narvik. In 1944, Not long before he was killed in a plane crash, Dietl was awarded the Nazi Party's gold badge by Hitler, who said of his first meeting with his, quote, model general, unquote, "An hour after I spoke to the third company of his regiment, this man gave me his hand and pledged from that moment to be my follower and supporter. And with me he has remained, year in, year out, my best comrade," unquote. Commenting in 1993 on the retention of Dietl's name for the Füssen barracks, a Bundeswehr general said that without doubt Dietl was a convinced Nazi, but that he had, quote, charisma, unquote, and, quote, was a good example of soldierly virtues, unquote. Not surprisingly, the institutional continuity between the old and the new German military has reflected itself in the extremely tolerant conduct that the German military has offered for individual members of its ranks who have in turn been very cozy with or deeply involved with far-right and explicitly Nazi and fascist elements. Reunited Germany, the New Danger covers that, writing, "A not inconsiderable number of Bundeswehr members was and is particularly close to the Nazi National Demokratische Partei Deutschlands, or NPD, the Deutsche Volksunion, and the Republikaner. In 1974, the distributors of the book Bundeswehr and Democracy found 6 reserve officers, 28 active military men, including a lieutenant colonel, 5 majors, 3 captains, and 3 warrant officers first class who were members of the NPD. Membership of Bundeswehr soldiers in the Republikaner today is said to be considerably higher, and the party has at one time or another included several Bundeswehr generals in its ranks." By the way, I would interject at this point, one of the strengths of Nazism over the years has been its underground component, and if these are the ones who were officially listed, it would not be at all surprising if, in fact, the participation by Bundeswehr soldiers and officers in far-right and Nazi parties, including the NPD, is far higher than the official records would indicate. Continuing with Reunited Germany, the New Danger. "Officially, membership of these parties has no effect on career. It is noticeable, however, that there was, and is, a large number of leading Bundeswehr officers in leading positions in these parties and other associations, such as the World Alliance Against the Falsification of History and the Emergency Committee for Heritage and Culture." And also, the Patriots for Germany, let me be, I'll read this last sentence again. "It is noticeable, however, that there was and is a large number of leading Bundeswehr officers in leading positions in these parties and other associations, such as the World Alliance Against the Falsification of History, the Emergency Committee for Heritage and Culture, Patriots for Germany, and the Germany Foundation, Tradition Society of the Potsdam Glockenspiel, and the Society for German Unity," unquote. The background to this openly reactionary residue in wide areas of the Bundeswehr is without doubt the, quote, enemy, unquote, concept nurtured by virulent anti-communism during the Cold War, but originating in the Black Reichswehr of the 1920s and in the Nazi Wehrmacht. By the way, we dealt with the assassination programs of the Black Reichswehr and how they paved the way for Hitler in Weimar Germany in Radio Free America program number 10, also a miscellaneous two-part archive show dealing with the origins of the Nazi Party. Continuing. "This continuous process can be detected in various statements by high-ranking Bundeswehr officers, as shown by extracts from a reader's letter about Social Democratic leader Willy Brandt to Die Welt in 1971 from the then-Major von Strachwitz. Quote, "The current policy of the SPD is only explicable in the light of the Chancellor's persona. He has managed to ensure that our critics can refer to us as fatherlandless because they allow their party leadership to follow a course which appears anti-German. One cannot blame the Chancellor, since he has no particular fatherland feeling for the Germany of the 1937 frontiers," unquote. Then there is the comment of the then Lieutenant Colonel Witt, W-I-T-T, in an NPD propaganda article, quote, "Chancellor Brandt from Martin Frau Flamm, or whatever it is he likes to be known as, was awarded the Nobel Prize, while a personality such as the 79-year-old Rudolf Hess has languished behind bars in Spandau for more than 30 years, unquote. The weekly newspaper Die Zeit in 1969 quoted the statement of a Bundeswehr captain, quote, "Make no mistake, the Bundeswehr is a power factor. If there was ever a left-wing putsch, we'd be there with or without emergency legislation," unquote. When an SPD politician explained the term democratic socialism, unquote, a Bundeswehr officer told him, quote, If you want to introduce democratic socialism into the Bundeswehr, we, as the Bundeswehr, will have to consider whether we should exercise our right to oppose it." Unquote. Many Bundeswehr officers saw the coup d'etat that installed the Chilean military junta in 1973 as a legal move. In November of 1973, a retired general declared it as such. In the same year, 20 reserve and serving officers, including the then Inspector General of the Federal Navy, handed over to Junta General Mendoza in Santiago a check for 25,000 Deutschmarks and Chilean Lieutenant Colonel Kraushaar, K-R-A-U-S-H-A-A-R, was enthusiastically applauded during a lecture to the Leadership Academy of the Bundeswehr in Hamburg when he defended the Chilean military's murderous putsch. The next segment of Reunited Germany, The New Danger, deals with the other side of the coin. Members of the Bundeswehr who engage in relatively liberal political activities are severely disciplined. This to be contrasted with some of the examples of individual Bundeswehr soldiers and officers who have engaged in political activities of the opposite political stripe. The next segment of Reunited Germany reads as follows. Whilst those attending this event could reckon without consequences, this of the celebration of the Chilean putsch and also the honor bestowed upon Lieutenant Colonel Kraushaar of the Chilean military, whilst those attending this event could reckon without consequences, soldiers who protested at it by signing petitions at the Mackensen barracks at Hildesheim were disciplined. In other cases, too, the Bundeswehr leadership has not been slow to punish soldiers involved in democratic and anti-fascist activities. Soldiers who have attended trade union May Day rallies in uniform have been subjected to military disciplinary procedures. A soldier who carried a banner with the slogan, "Never Again War, Never Again Fascism," unquote, on a DGB Trade Union Federation march was punished with extended confinement to barracks. Tough measures have been taken against soldiers who have participated in anti-fascist rallies in uniform at international remembrance ceremonies. Appeals from those involved have been dismissed by Bundeswehr leaders on the grounds that such punishments were necessary for the maintenance of military order, or that refraining from disciplinary measures could have unforeseeable consequences for military discipline. Discussion by soldiers of the study of compulsory military service, Soldat 74, led to detention or fines, and in some cases early discharge. Even committed professionals have not been immune from discrimination by their superiors in the Bundeswehr. A professional soldier who asked for his release from the Bundeswehr by way of an open letter to then-Defense Minister Leber was punished with detention, whilst General Hildebrandt in 1975 was given political protection following his participation in a memorial parade for the victory of the fascists over the Spanish Republican Army while on a visit to Madrid. The Bundeswehr displays reservations, too, about potentially critical publications. For example, during a search of a locker in the Wilhelms barracks in trade union newspapers such as OTV, Wehr Report, Der Gewerkschafter, Metall, etc. were confiscated as being, quote, subversive to the armed forces, unquote. From the earliest days of the Bundeswehr, it was apparent that the concept of citizens in uniform, unquote, was in sharp conflict with the reality inside the Bundeswehr. The intention to motivate a continual democratic political debate amongst the troops came under fire in early 1969 from the then Bundeswehr Chief of Training and Education, Brigadier General Karst, K-A-R-S-T, later to be president of the ultra-rightist Deutschland Stiftung, who said that the concept, quote, would construct an unsoldierly army. It follows that a proper start should be made to enable the building of a soldierly army, unquote. Such reactionary and anti-democratic tendencies in the Bundeswehr as those outlined above are not isolated cases locked in a distant past. The cases of contact with the most extreme right forces in German society are not simply a matter of going off the rails, unquote, or misunderstandings, unquote. At the ODR event in Serre, soldierly awareness and the preservation of tradition was fully on display, a product of the training and structure inside the Bundeswehr today, and not just in the 1950s, 60s, or 70s. As recently as August 1994, an insight into some of the, quote, tradition-building, unquote, exercises in Bundeswehr was provided after complaints by recruits that they were forced by their officers to sing officially banned marching songs of the Nazi Wehrmacht, for example, Hinter den Bergen, which glorifies the actions of Hitler's paratroops. In the official brochure of Luftlandbrigade 26, which is part of Germany's new Crisis Reaction Force, their history is praised as follows. Already in the Second World War, the paratroops of the German Wehrmacht were a special force. Their deeds in Crete and at Monte Cassino have become legendary, unquote. Exactly which traditions are the most lively for some were also indicated in May of 1994, when an anti-Semitic incident near Bonn caused both the Kohl government and the chiefs of the Bundeswehr excruciating embarrassment. On May 24th, it was announced that seven members of the Bundeswehr's top military guard of honor, which welcomes state visitors to Germany and performs at all major ceremonial occasions, were helping police with their inquiries after eyewitnesses accused them of screaming Nazi and anti-Semitic slogans like, quote, gas the Jews, unquote, and assaulting passengers on a public transport bus. Witnesses told the police that the soldiers boarded the bus near the site of their barracks in Siegburg and beat up a passenger who asked them to stop shouting, gas the Jews and foreigners out, unquote. The incident was so serious that eventually the bus driver halted his vehicle and locked the troops inside while he went to seek the help of the police. And skipping down, at the end of May of 1994, it was revealed by anti-fascists that Reinhard Wilnow, W-I-L-L-N-O-W, a member of the Fascist Republikaner and a known Holocaust denier, was teaching history and political education to Bundeswehr regular soldiers at the Armed Forces Training School in Bremen. And on June 5, 1994, police in Brandenburg smashed a heavily armed Nazi paramilitary group which called itself the Dragon and found that its leader was a serving NCO in the Bundeswehr. In the first case, the Bundeswehr refused any official comment and in the second offered to investigate only if the police allegations were confirmed. This is all we have time for in this particular segment. What we're going to do next is to give the address, etc., for the Searchlight magazine, from which one can order Reunited Germany, The New Danger.
To subscribe to The Searchlight, a British anti-fascist publication, write to Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B, New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, or phone 011-4471 284-4040 or fax 011-4471-284-4410. That's the Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B, New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, phone 011-4471-284-4040 or fax at 011-4471-284-4410.
And the address for Archives on Audio, which has all of these archival references, all of the archive shows that I refer to on permanent file, is as follows.
Tape cassettes of Dave Emery's archive documentaries and weekly One Step Beyond programs are available from a tape duplication service. The service is Archives on Audio, and you can contact them at Post Office Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. Once again, that's P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number and area code are 415-346-1840. A 12-page catalog listing and describing each archive show is available.
That's now a 19-page catalog available from Archives on Audio. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.